Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is a hematology oncology associates of Fredericksburg in this morning, and we are going to talk about research. It's something that we talk about often and really get into it this morning. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here, and we'll introduce you to a couple of the research people at hematology oncology associates in just a second. But this is a topic, Dr. Vaughn, that really from the start we have talked about this for years, and The research and the things that go on around here are pretty impressive that you all are involved in.
Yeah, it's been a passion of mine since we've talked about this before, since I came to the practice back in 2008 from the University of Virginia. We began our research department in 2010. It's continued to grow and develop. It's been a wonderful thing to have the opportunity to provide sort of the novel and updated treatments for cancer, and part of the real way of doing that is by doing clinical trials. And it seems like each year we continue to grow and incorporate new trials to our program. And it's a wonderful thing to have some of the most novel and updated treatments available for patients in the community.
Well, and when you're a person going through treatment, it might not always, at first, you're not thinking of that. But as you get thinking about it and you start looking around and to know that that kind of thing is going on, makes you feel a whole lot better and know that you're plugged into a place that really is plugged into the most current cancer care.
Yeah, I mean, it just happened yesterday. I was talking to a patient and their family, a new patient with lung cancer, and it's amazing. Some of the things I'm presenting as options have already been proven to be now frontline therapy from trials that we were a part of 2 or 3 years ago. And that's what is really sort of the eye-opening and breathtaking thing about doing research, is what we're doing now potentially could be sort of the standard of care moving forward, and seeing how we're moving the needle and outcomes in cancer therapy. So yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And it happens more often than I think when I'm talking about kind of your general approach to, you know, it could be breast cancer, lung cancer. And now what is sort of standard of care is maybe a trial that we participated in, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. That's why I always want to have this available for our patients here in the community, is that this is hopefully, like I said, moving the needle and treatment outcomes in cancer.
Little old Fredericksburg,
yeah,
is not little old Fredericksburg in these kinds of things. And you've told stories about things that were initiated here and that are now considered cutting edge right now.
I assume we'll get into some of maybe our trials and some of the numbers, but we were listed. I know a few trials last year as we opened up one of our new buildings. One of the things we wanted to do was have some portfolios, and one of them was our research program, and there. Some lists of a couple of trials where it was Dana-Farber, the big cancer center in Boston, and Sloan Kettering was listed, and we were like number 4 on the list. So we were competing with these big centers and mega metropolises. So it's amazing what we can do. We have the patients, we have the infrastructure, the staff. That it's everyone working together. But yes, I think our patients are very devoted. We have this ability to connect with them, and they trust us, and that's part of it. And again, having a wonderful staff that we'll talk to later that helps promote the research. But yeah, little Fredericksburg has been top 10 in some big trials.
That's fantastic. When I wear my hematology oncology shirts around town, I can stand a little taller and say, this is right up there with Sloan Kettering and all that.
Maybe get some tickets to the Yankees games and Red Sox games. I mean, this is big time. This is big time stuff when you start wearing Hofe around.
Also here this morning from the research end, Amber Spurley is here and Ashley Lawrence. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Amber, I'll start with you. What got you involved or interested in kind of the research side of things?
So I started working for Hofe, and I was an infusion nurse and looking at some of the trials. And because as infusion, we're still involved, seeing some of the research patients and things like that. And it just became really interesting looking at, like, the targeted therapies and some of the things that they were able to see, and I saw that like Hope, what Hope had participated in, and it just struck my interest, and it wasn't something I had done before, and so I decided to try it.
Isn't that interesting, too, though, that you had the opportunity to do that? In some cases, you might see that and think, oh, that'd be interesting. But
yes, absolutely. I am very grateful every day for that opportunity. I have been down in the research department now for 2 years, and in the 2 years I've been there, I can see how much we've grown, too. So it's definitely fun, exciting, stressful sometimes, but fun.
Ashley, what's your story? How'd you get involved in this part of it?
So like Amber, I started as an infusion nurse at Hope, and I knew I wanted to work in research. I lost my dad to cancer, so it's always been something that, you know, being able to offer hopefully the most up-to-date, the most current, the best treatment. I mean, that's what you want, right? You want to be able to offer these novel opportunities for patients, the things that they can't really get, you know, anywhere else, or they have to travel for. And what a great thing that we're just in your backyard and you don't have to go far for something that, you know, might change the future of cancer care. So I just thought that was really interesting and just a great opportunity to be a part of that.
Well, and to have the opportunity there, like, again, some places that might not be an option. And you've been able to pursue that. As far in the research area, how many of you are there around that, you know, how many people are doing research consistently?
I'm not sure. Typically, I think before us, people would have to travel. I mean, Richmond, D.C. Actually, in the past couple of years, we've seen an increase in referrals to our office from all over Virginia and actually as far away as North Carolina.
Wow. Wow.
So that's kind of cool. That specific trial, I know the other closest center for that person was Atlanta. So we're one of the few on the East Coast that have that trial.
Is there like continuing training that you do as, you know, doing research? Are there things that besides research that you're also, you know,
absolutely,
just to stay up on?
Yeah, there's a lot of extra stuff that goes on behind the scenes,
yeah,
including training, specific trainings that we have to keep up. We have to help the doctors keep up with it. We have to stay on top of like GCP, which is good clinical practice. It's specific to clinical trials. Basically, patient safety is the paramount of everything we do.
I would think for everybody, there's a lot of paperwork involved because you're having to document every single thing.
Every single thing. Yes. I mean, if they have any complaint, we have to document it. Whether it's a pain in a pinky finger, there's a lot of documentation that goes into it.
And just to be involved in a lot of this, and I'm sure whether you're working with Dr. Vaughn and others right there here, but you're also working, I'm sure, with other doctors or people around the country who are monitoring some of the things that you're doing.
Definitely. The monitoring, you know, the sponsor, so the company that comes to us that's sponsoring the trial. And then they use CRA organizations, which are what we call monitors. And so they are just always checking in with us, making sure that everything that we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm, and making sure that the patients are safe and everything like that. So interesting.
We're going to take a break and come back, and we'll get into how research begins in all of that. We're talking Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg and research this morning, HOAFredericksburg.com. There's also a great Facebook page that keeps you up to date, too, on what is going on locally. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here along with Amber Spurley and Ashley Lawrence. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg here this morning, and we are talking trials and to research things going on right now that are going on around here that we may not even are not really aware of. So, Dr. Vaughn, to do this, and you talked about, you know, when you came here, this was a goal of yours to be able to do this. But to be able to qualify, I mean, you've got to have the Ambers and the Ashleys, and you've got to have people qualified to do research.
Yeah, we had to sort of develop really a department, a research department. It started initially, we were sort of tied with VCU because we needed a larger cancer center to help us grow, and we had these kind of larger, what we call cooperative group trials. And we started to really accrue patients on our own to the VCU trials. And then we realized we could kind of separate with our own identity and our own sort of infrastructure. We kind of developed that HOFE and really had some, and then through that developed some research assistants and coordinators that continued to just push our department where we've gotten so strong and so really independent that a lot of pharmaceutical companies now, because now it's more sponsor-driven trials like your, you know, Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, Keytruda is what drug company?
Merck.
Yeah, Merck. So all these sponsors, these pharmaceutical companies will come to us because we are so efficient. We're able to recruit patients that they'll come directly to us for the trial.
How about that?
Yeah, we've done so well that we've had to turn some down just because we can't have every trial open. It is a lot of work. So we really have to do a good job. And I think one of the important things we do now, well, we've always done it, but now really we're really attentive to being very selective in opening trials that are gonna meet our patient needs in the community. So we try to do a good job, cover a wide scope of a breast cancer trial, lung cancer trial, a hematologic malignancy trial. But really a trial that's going to really be something that would work for our patients and our community needs. And so, you know, we're constantly, some trials are closing as they met their goals and some are opening. So it's a constant ebb and flow of opening and closing trials. And it's a lot to keep track of. And yeah, Ashley and Amber are always at front and center of everything we're doing. And they just told me what to do, basically.
Well, they are here
in
this
morning. In summary, that's what happened.
They are here this morning because they're stars. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't even have brought you if you were just like, it's somewhere in the building we go. And no, to have these big companies coming to you is even just another thing that you've got to feel really great about, that you're qualified to do it. And as we were talking, and as soon as I said keeping up with you know, just as far as paperwork, I mean, right away, Amber, you just smiled and said, yes. I mean, there has to be, because I guess a lot of these trials aren't just, you're doing the, I'm guessing other trials with other
it's
places.
It's not just being with the patient. There's a lot of behind the scenes data that we have to enter and things that we have to do. Sometimes it's not just seeing the patient. I mean, there's trainings that we constantly, the system sometimes change and you have to retrain on that and things. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes on.
There's a whole part of it, regulatory, that is just all documentation, and that is our training. So every time a protocol is updated or they get more information on a drug, it's called an investigator's brochure, that can be updated as well. We have to make sure that everybody that's working on the trial is retrained. We have to have documentation of the training. So we actually have somebody who's not with us today. Her name's Brittany, and she is our regulatory coordinator. And if you want to talk about a star, you need to talk about Brittany.
Absolutely.
Because she keeps everything so super organized. And gosh, we're so thankful for her to be able to do it.
Well, and just because with a trial, we talk about safety, that is, mm-hmm. that would be, you know, first, I mean, it always is, but especially with a trial when you're not always calling the shots.
Right. I mean, part of the big two things with a trial are, one is, you know, is this drug going to change outcomes in whatever, you know, cancer we're treating? And then number two is the patient safety. You know, what side effects could, and sometimes you don't know unless you get a lot of patients on a trial. So the company that's developing this drug, you know, it really wants to really document, you know, what maybe side effects we're starting to see, so we can appropriately treat patients, be proactive in the future for these patients. So yeah, a lot of documentation on side effects. Also, some of our trials may incorporate sometimes some markers in the blood or you know, things that may change over time that could help us define if a cancer treatment's working. So there's a lot of also some data from blood work and how sort of markers in our body may change to suggest, you know, this drug is going to be a you know, an effective medication in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I know one thing that we're kind of used to in the research world is ctDNA, and I think that's kind of making it out of the research world and becoming kind of standard of care, and that's just circulating tumor DNA. So you're kind of seeing, you know, how much, for lack of, I guess, how much tumor burden are do you have tumor cells in your body?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we've been using in clinical research for quite a long time, that they've been mapping to see, you know, is the drug working over time? There's also pharmacokinetics or PKs. That's monitoring the drug levels in a patient's body at certain time points. So for certain trials, we may have to do, I know there's one that we have, we give the first infusion, then we have a 2-hour blood draw after the infusion, a 4-hour blood draw, a 24-hour blood draw.
Wow.
So there's things we have to keep on top of just to make sure, again, safety. It all goes down to patient safety.
Right, because this is all, it's research, it's new.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get to the point, Dr. Vaughn, or if you're a person's in research and you look at it and you say, this is not working? Does it ever get to that level?
It does. Now, it wouldn't be us to decide. Usually, again, we are a part of a large network.
Yeah.
For instance, if like a sponsor is looking for 400 patients, you know, then we may have 8 of those patients. We have had some trials, and this is where safety comes up. One comes to mind where the side effect profile was just starting to become too high.
Yeah.
Where they had to close. The sponsor makes that decision.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
That it was unsafe. Too many of these side effects were happening where the sponsor said, this is something we have to close early. So it does. Most of the trials would either close. Well, most of them would close early, maybe because of their it may not be safe, and they're finding that out. Or it has happened where it's working so well, you know, and they're looking at some of the data. Sometimes they'll make some early assessments of how well patients are doing. And if, let's say, we're looking at 400 patients and 200 of them, they've done kind of an early data analysis, and they go, wait, this group that's getting the drug is doing much better. We're going to have to stop this and open it up because it's too good. We can't, you know. So that has happened,
yeah,
too. So yeah, it's not always guaranteed the trial is going to go on for 3 years, you know, and that's why sponsors, and that's why the data we collect is so critical and has to be timely. You know, we talk, I mean, we usually, the data's got to be in within 24 or 48 hours of patient coming in usually. It's important for the sponsors who are running these, and these are global trials. I mean, we're participating in trials. Fredericksburg's a part of it. There's, you know, in South America, maybe a part of it, in Europe. So the sponsor's trying to get all this data together to make these early decisions on whether to continue the trial or stop it. It's looking too good.
Yeah, one of the trials actually, it just got approved to go up to expedited review in front of the FDA. And if it's approved, it will be the actual first agent approved for the specific tumor mutation that people have. So
yeah,
that's really exciting. And that's based on interim analysis and patients doing so well on the drug.
So I guess ultimately the goal with any of these are to get these trials to go before the FDA and for it to become standard procedure.
Exactly.
The ultimate outcome is, as I was saying earlier, ultimate outcome is, yes, what we're doing now shows a benefit in what it's beyond what the standard of care is, and now it has become the standard of care. So it's kind of trumped what it was before, and now it is what we would now do as frontline therapy for breast cancer, lung cancer, lymphoma, you name it.
Yeah.
And that's what we love. We're offering that to our patients here in Fredericksburg. No guarantee it's going to be better. That's what we always have to be up front of the patients. It's a trial. We don't know what the results are going to be. There's some suggestion that's going to work.
Yeah.
We don't know, though. And so we have to run these trials. And so we're so thankful and so appreciative of our patients who trust us to be a part of this. And that's really the stars of the show, our patients who are willing to go on these trials.
Well, and to have the option is a great thing. You may decide, nah, you know what? I don't want to do that. A person may decide that. But to have that option and not just come in and be told, this is all we got.
Right. And that's really, I mean, our main job is, one, we want to make sure when I talk to new patients coming in, and a trial is not always the first time you see the, for instance, someone's coming in for lung cancer. A trial can be the first time they're being treated, but some trials are, let's say the cancer is returned, you know, so there could be we call that second line. So it's not always the first time you're diagnosed.
Yeah.
But we always want to make sure our patients have the trial available. Now, it may not be for everyone. And also, the patient may not have certain requirements to be a part of the trial. That's also something that we have to kind of scroll through and look, because trials are very selective. You know, they want to have very good data. So they really want patients to meet a certain criteria to get on a trial. And that, a lot of times, unfortunately, that's usually the exclusion that might happen for a patient and their families, that the patient may not meet certain criteria for the trial. But we do our best job to make sure that if a patient is available for the trial and they meet all the criteria, that we offer them that trial.
For Ashley and Amber, for you two, how exciting, because these are the kinds of stories, especially as when we talk about how just cancer research and just life expectancy, how it keeps changing, and you know, we're learning more and more. You guys are on the front line of all of this.
Yeah, that's what made me interested in research.
Yeah,
it's really cool to see.
Yeah, because I mean, anybody who's had cancer, somebody will tell you if you've had cancer, you'll look at what the rates were, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and how we've made such strides. And you guys are front line of making those strides.
Yeah, it's exciting, definitely. I know one of the things that I really like is these new, more targeted therapies. So a lot of people, you know, when they hear the word chemo or they think of cancer treatment, they think of what it used to be and feeling very sick. Now, that still happens, unfortunately, but the future of cancer treatment is hopefully these targeted therapies where the patients are typically feeling better through treatment.
Yeah.
It's working because, you know, hopefully the hope is that it's working for their specific type of cancer, what's driving their cancer, and not kind of wiping them out like it used to be. So that's, you know, I always say we try to offer hope. You know, that's what trials do.
When I was diagnosed, that was my first, I sat down with my boss here and said, I don't know how sick I'm going to be. And then later it was Dr. Vaughn who said, a lot of times you're not sick, and if you are sick, we've got patches and things we can give you. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, it's really cool too, because that's one of the things, some of the things that we look at, you know, you're comparing injections to like an oral med, or we're currently have a trial, we're looking at a breast cancer vaccine. Like that stuff is just really kind of interesting to look at what's different out there other than just chemotherapy.
And we actually have some supportive care trials too. So mm-hmm. we're not like just looking at drugs to treat cancer. We're looking at drugs that support you when you're going through your treatment. And not even drugs. Some are like therapies, like talk mm-hmm. therapy and different things like that help.
The New England Journal of Medicine, we're going to talk about that. And in the same sentence, Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. Good stuff this morning. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here, Ashley Lawrence, and Amber Spurley from Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, HOAFredericksburg.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA 831.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is a Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. HOAFredericksburg.com is the website. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here this morning along with Ashley Lawrence and Amber Spurley. We are talking research this morning. Ashley and Amber, I would guess that you both you're more than just sitting in a lab and looking at numbers. Do you get to know the people in the who are part of a research project?
Definitely. It's I feel like my relationships are stronger because you really get to know the patients, their family. I have patients that aren't even on trial anymore that still call, you know, just to update me on their life.
So that's great.
Yeah, it's really, that is a lot of fun, and it's exciting because they trust us and we love them, and that's why we're doing this. So
yeah, it's definitely a unique relationship. And because we are not, you know, the amount of patients seen at our office is so high. So when you usually, as a patient, when you call in, a lot of times you end up having to leave a message. Now you get a call back really quickly. Our nurses are phenomenal with that. But one thing that is kind of a perk of being a research patient is a lot of the times when you call the research extension, somebody answers the phone because we don't have that high turnover and we're entering data and doing all the behind the scenes work. So we really get to know these patients. And like Amber said earlier, if you have a pinky pain, we want to know. So we end up talking to you a lot, and where it's a very close relationship, a very unique relationship. We use kind of the term like hand-holding, but not in a negative way. Like, it's a really positive thing. You get a little bit more one-on-one.
So you're both registered nurses. How does being in research, how's it different from when you were, and I hate to say just a registered nurse, but just being a nurse, this sounds like it's, you're even, is there even more of a connection with patients?
I think so. Okay. I say all the time, when I did infusion, I knew about the drugs and I knew about the side effects and how that affected the patients and how to take care of the patients in that aspect. But when you're down in research, you're looking at the whole picture, you know, the disease process itself on top of the side effects that these drugs could be causing. So I think that creates a different relationship with the patients because you are so detailed and so involved in their life. There's waiting times. We're waiting to draw those labs. You're sitting there just talking about their lives, you know, what's going on and things like, you know, they also check in with us to make sure it's okay to do different family functions and things like that that they have to go to because they're worried about like infection risk. And so that part of it, you definitely get to know them, their family members. I mean, we get cards and things and all kinds of stuff from the families and you remember them.
There is definitely when you're involved with infusion and with cancer patients, just a different level of knowing a family and because people check on that, and I guess you want them to too. You don't want anybody when you're being treated for cancer just to assume I can go about my life.
Right, exactly. I tell the research patients, we're not gonna get annoyed with you if you call us every day. Like, we need to know everything. We need to know if you have a headache. We need to know, did you start a new medication? That's always a really important one because sometimes, you know, medications, they can't be on certain medications with the trial drugs and different things like that. Again, we always want to make sure it's safe. So I give them our extension. I say, use it, please. Call us. We want to talk to you. We need to talk to you. We need to know all the information.
I would think at a minimum, you've got to have a nursing background, nursing background, just because, Ashley, as you've talked, you've used some terms that I just, you know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. I think our position is probably not appropriate for a brand new nurse. I think you need a little bit of that nursing background.
Yeah.
Really coming from infusion and having a strong oncology and infusion background is super helpful to be a research nurse in oncology. I can't imagine trying to learn everything you have to know for research on top of the drugs and the medication and what to expect and everything. That is, I would just be so overwhelmed.
Yeah. I think the turnover rate would probably be pretty high. It does. It takes a lot of knowledge for sure.
So I was told this morning when you guys came in, and so I've been waiting to ask you about this. The New England Journal of Medicine. I mean, now that is quoted all the time in major news stories when things come out. It's a big deal. And you guys, the New England Journal of Medicine?
Yes, so they actually just published an article or an interim analysis of one of our long trials, the CheckMate 77T clinical trial. So the clinical trial is still ongoing, but at the interim analysis, they found some really positive data regarding, you know, this could affect how lung cancer is treated. It's more than likely going to change a little bit of standard of care.
Yeah, just some background. This was a trial we participated with immunotherapy plus chemotherapy before surgery. And so also kudos to Dr. Sherwood and his staff. He was very involved with the study. So that's what I like also about our research in Fredericksburg is sometimes we're able to kind of coordinate with some of our expert surgeons here in the area, both our Kate Blanchard, who's a breast cancer surgeon, yeah, and Tim Sherwood, who's our wonderful thoracic surgeon. So we can kind of coordinate, and it's wonderful to do that. But this is a trial where we presented patients with opportunity to chemotherapy and immune therapy, although some patients did not get the immune therapy because, again, it was kind of blinded, so we don't know what's better, and then would do surgery and see what the outcomes were. One of the point of surgery, did the cancer respond to treatment? Meaning with Dr. Sherwood went in and did the surgery, how much of the cancer was dead, let's say. And ended up being, at the interim analysis, about 35% of the time, the cancer was either dead or 90% dead, which is quite remarkable. Just to give you some background, before with just chemotherapy, that would be about 5% of the time. So quite amazing that the adjunct of immunotherapy plus chemotherapy has some tremendous result as far as killing the lung cancer. And then after that, the trial also asked the question, after surgery, is there a benefit of being on immune therapy as sort of a maintenance for a year? Because part of what we think, what's changed in cancer, is our ability to kind of promote our immune system to fight cancer. And yeah, so the idea is if we could give this medicine to kind of prime our immune system for a year, will our kind of our policemen in our body always be engaged and fight any kind of rogue lung cancer cell that may pop up? So the results looked very promising at the, as Ashley was saying, at the interim analysis. Of course, they continue to follow update trials on a yearly basis. So it met its accrual, like it had all the patients. Now we're just on the follow-up part to get the data. This was this interim analysis was 2 years, right, from the start?
I believe so.
Two years. So they'll look like 3 years, 4 years, and forward to see. It has already become now a standard of care, though, to do chemotherapy and immune therapy before surgery. The outcomes have become so obvious as far as positive results. And hopefully this transcends into meaning that patients, what we want to know is what we call overall survival, meaning patients who do this live longer or better than the patients who don't get this. And that's what really moves the needle. But the results are looking like that is going to be the probable outcome.
Wow, just to have that conversation and talk about these
things. And as I mentioned earlier, we were number five on the list of, we were right below Dana-Farber, I remember, as far as patients. We recruited 7 or 8 patients out of probably about 350, 400 patients. So quite a bit were part of the trial from Fredericksburg.
Mm. Congratulations.
Yeah. It was wonderful. That was really, that's what's rewarding when we do when we open up these trials, and it's rewarding. One, it shows how wonderful our department is and our ability to get patients on trial through it. But it's when you look back and go, gosh, we sort of, we here in Fredericksburg helped kind of move and change the landscape of lung cancer treatment.
Wow. In the New England Journal of Medicine article, were you all mentioned, or was there anything?
No,
I wish.
You should have.
I agree. I'm going to do a little editorial note.
Now, just a couple of the things that you talked about. I mean, just the immune system. That's the thing. When after you've had any kind of cancer, you're worried about your immune system, and the thought that it can bounce back. Or you know, you have you know, not be just shot is just a huge thing. But you talked, Dr. Vaughn, and I never thought about this, and I may not understand it, and you can say no, that's not. But when you talk about, you know, when you go in and you're treated, you know, killing the cancer, when you go in and look at X-rays or however you look at things, can you see dead cancer cells? Is that something that's a thing?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think for certain cancers, like let's say non-surgical cancers, like lymphoma, for instance, we really rely on imaging, like a PET scan or a CAT scan. Like a PET scan is a very suggestive tool of if a lymph node is no longer bright, that it's like all the lymphoma cancer is dead. So for some of our blood cancers, we rely heavily on imaging, and PET scan being one of the more common.
Yeah, because that was always the big thing when I would get those. You know, you didn't want to look at you didn't want the bright spots.
Exactly. So it's really a PET scan is very analogous to any live cancer cells if there's any bright spots. Now, for let's say breast cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, or solid tumor cancers, scans can be helpful, but really the ultimate is. Did stuff die is by doing the surgery. So, for instance, we've done trials with Dr. Blanchard, too, has helped partake with us, that we'll do some treatment before breast surgery. And if she goes in and does a lumpectomy and all the cancer is dead, well, that's how we know. Okay. So it's more of, we call that a pathologic response. So what we want to know is a pathologic response, and that would be a complete pathological response if there's no viable cancer cells. And our pathologists, who are also very helpful and involved in our trials, really kind of label that for us and go, oh my gosh, there's no live cancer cells here. This is a complete response.
Yeah. Wow. I'm guessing, Amber and Ashley, when you went to nursing school and decided that you wanted to be a nurse, that you never thought you would go down this path.
Nope. Sure did not.
Yeah, no.
I was trying to survive there for a little while.
Agreed.
In nursing school. But yeah, no, because research is the future. What we're doing right now is for the future, so you didn't really learn about that necessarily during nursing school.
Right. Yeah, agreed. I know when I talk to the patients and, you know, they're nervous, patients are understandably nervous about potentially being on a clinical trial and all of this. And I say, well, you know, the standard of care drugs that everybody gets today were once part of a clinical trial, and that's how we know they're okay to use. So we went to a symposium a month or two ago, and they were telling us that, you know, in their eyes, research, clinical trials, that's the best care because it could be the next new thing, the next big thing. So it's always, you know, you want to be able to give that as an option to your patient that, you know, maybe this might be better.
That was one of my first questions was, is there a trial? Because that's how I thought.
Yeah. And I think it's something we always, you know, again, our goal at HOFE is to, you know, as we've talked before, we hope patients and their families trust us. And I always think it's easier to get treatment closer to home. Our job is to have the best available treatments for our patients, our community. And part of it is having a really robust clinical trial program. So it's incumbent on us to have this available for our patients. And we work really hard. You know, every day, every week, to try to make sure we have the best selection of trials available for the, you know, Fredericksburg community.
Yeah. Good stuff this morning. Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg and Research. Dr. Vaughn is here along with Amber Spurley and Ashley Lawrence. We'll take one final break and conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson, I was going to have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I want to keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Chris Vaughn here this morning, along with Ashley Lawrence and Amber Spurley, as we talk about research with Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. They're over on Empire Court. And Dr. Vaughn, if One of the things that's great about hearing about this and in hearing what's available in Fredericksburg, if you are diagnosed with cancer, you ought to come by and talk to the and talk to the and there are so many there's a doctor there that's going to have you're going to be able to talk to you about what you're dealing with, and this is a great option.
Yeah, we update we meet monthly with all our physicians to update them on what trials are real. So everyone should be abreast of what is new and happening in Frederick. So even if it's not me seeing you, it's one of my other providers. Everyone should be aware of what trial options there are, you know, in the community. And like I said, we're constantly trying to bring in new trials. Some are closing, so it's always a moving landscape. But we always try to have a really good trial available, whatever disease state that is.
Well, and just if you're when you're dealing with cancer, to know that there is a you're able to. To look over the landscape, and you may not be eligible for a trial, but you're still going to get top notch care.
Exactly. I mean, I think this is the main point of all this is, I mean, our research department is so wonderful, and they are awesome and have grown and developed into just, it's an amazing part of the practice, but still HOFE has its own culture, and we are just a part of the overall culture of HOFE, and that is, we're a patient-centric practice, and we are here for our patients and the community, and that is what is the overlying kind of message, and we use the term culture, I guess. That is what HOFE is, and our research department is just a part of that, and patients get, just wonderful, excellent care.
What's a day like for you two in research? I guess, I mean, you're doing, in some ways, you've talked about all the, the paperwork and the things you have to follow, but you're also dealing with patients, and it's probably a full day.
It's definitely a full day. I know we have different roles. I'm the manager and Amber is a coordinator. So I jump in and see patients if somebody's out or if we're slammed, which happens, but, my role is a little different. I'm the one that's kind of looking at the trials, because I mean, it's weekly that they come to us and say, hey, we have this trial. Would you be interested? And so I'm talking to Dr. Vaughn. I'm talking to Dr. Nanda. They all talk with the other physicians. And then we have screening software that I can run it through to see if we have the patient population. So my role is a little different. Amber is definitely, I'd say, on the ground more.
Yeah. The coordinator term is not used lightly. I'm definitely coordinating a lot of things at one time, their schedule. Seeing the patients, the labs, all those PKs that we had talked about.
Yeah.
And then getting the data entered in a timely manner on top of extra training we have to do or retrain or whatever.
Yeah, juggling a lot of balls.
There's always work to be done.
Yes. But what you do has just got to be just thrilling. And in a way, Dr. Vaughn is dealing with the patient when they're first told you have cancer. And kind of the shock. By the time they get to you, you're able to lay some things out and maybe even give them some more hope.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's one of my favorite things about HOFE. And being part of HOFE is just great.
Well, thank you both for what you do.
Thank you.
Because, what exciting stories. And as we talk about just the few stories you've been able to tell, there's just a lot of great things happening in this area. HOAFredericksburg.com for Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. HOAFredericksburg.com. They're on Empire Court. And check them out. Dr. Vaughn, thank you. Once again, we'll get together again and talk soon.
Love doing it. Thank you again for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.